Session 4.
Take a look at page 23, okay? We're going to be talking about the lines in bold at the end on page 23. This is a famous verse on giving and taking. It's the second verse in the Lama Chöpa, in the offering to Lamas by the first Panchen Lama about giving and taking. And it starts out by saying, help me to find both love and compassion. Love being the desire to give people what they need, and compassion being the desire to take away their suffering. Now, when you talk about developing bodhicitta through the seven-step method, which is really eight, because there's one before the first one called trying to think of everybody the same, equal, does loving come first or compassion come first? In the seven steps.
The love comes first.
The love comes first, okay? And there's a big debate about it, you know. Why are you giving them toys before you stop them from throwing up, you know? And what's the... Do you remember the answer? Yeah, that's not just plain old jampa. That's yion jampa. Yeah, and yion jampa means... yion means pretty. To see them as pretty as your only child. And the idea there is that until you learn to see them as being as attractive to you as the only child of a mother, then you won't be good at taking away their pain. See what I mean? So in the seven steps they reverse it, but it's a special kind of love. It's called pretty love, which means until you see the people around you as being very, very attractive to you, very beautiful to you, in the way that, you know, mothers are always... I'm a lama. Mother's always coming to me, sending me emails, right? Where is she? Anyway, you know, I don't want to brag, but, you know, I don't know. My son just seems different, you know, and then they'll tell me this amazing story, and oftentimes they are amazing, and I like to get those emails. But anyway, this is yuong. It's a kind of a reverse blindness where... no matter what they do, they look amazing to you. You see what I mean? And when you get that feeling towards everybody, then you're ready to start doing compassion. You see what I mean? So in the seven-step method for getting bodhicitta, yong jampa, pretty love, comes first. Okay? And that's what he's referring to here. So find love, and then find compassion, which wants to take away their pain. Okay? And then personal responsibility. Personal responsibility means... this is the final step in the seven. This is number six before you get to bodhicitta itself. Okay? Personal responsibility means... and by the way, if you're going to be a Buddhist in America, you're going to need this anyway. I don't care what people do. I don't care what people say. I don't care if I have to pay for the whole thing. I don't care if I have to go to work to pay for the whole thing. I don't care if nobody helps me at all. I will try to help other people. You know, I'll start all these projects to help other people. If nobody helps me, it's okay. I'll go ahead and do it myself. Okay, and that's called Laksam. Say Laksam. Namdat. Laksam. Namdat. It's just a decision. And if you're going to be a good Buddhist, especially if you're going to start help start Dharma centers or Arizona retreat centers or etc., you're going to have this attitude. Because, you know, especially in the beginning of Buddhism in a country, people are not going to help you the way they should. So you just got to say, you know, God damn it, I don't care. You know, if I have to do it myself, I'll do it myself. And if it takes 10 years, 20 years, if I have to go get a job, raise the money to start this Dharma center, and I have to pay for all the readings, and no one ever helps me, and, you know, if no one ever knows, no one ever cares, it's all right. I'll do it myself, you know, and that's Laksam, okay? That's Laksam Namdak. Or if even people give you a hard time for doing what you're doing. See, I mean, you're giving away teachings for free, 1,000 hours. In the last 7 years, people are still complaining, I don't like the free teachings, you know. Okay. Then you just do it. You see, I mean, you don't complain about it, don't whine about it. It's very, unattractive for a Dharma person to whine about it. You know what I mean? I mean, Rinpoche is still cleaning the bathrooms at Rashi Gempeling at the age of 76, 77, 8. He's 79 if you do it Buddhist way. He still goes down and cleans up after the holy Bodhisattva Dharma students after Seichu, because they leave the place a big mess. See, I mean, and he doesn't, you don't hear him whine about it. He doesn't get in class and say, you know, do you realize I've been cleaning the bathrooms for you guys for 25 years? He just does it. You see what I mean? And that's Laksam Namdak. And you're going to need to get that way. If you want to be in the Dharma business, you got to get used to that. Okay? And by the way, if you don't whine, it turns around. Then all these people are coming to you and asking to help. People are putting money in your bank account without telling you. Things like that. Okay? If you do whine, it keeps going like that. Okay? All right. Then it says, use the crane machine of giving and taking. Okay? Crane machine is the, in Tibetan, is Chul Dek. And you'll see in reading 7, Ruchidharma Bhadra is trying to explain this word, because he says, look, who's ever seen this word? We're talking 1600 AD. First Panchen Lama is describing this machine, you know, which in those days meant like a big, like medieval Europe, those catapults and stuff. You think of big gears, wooden gears, and donkeys pulling them, and people, and, you know, so this is image of building a house with this, you know, the cranes that you use for skyscrapers in New York? The ones that are on the street, and they pick up the stuff and they put it on the, they build the first floor and then they build the second floor and then they build the third floor. Sometimes they put them on the first floor and then they build it up and the crane goes up with it and then they have to get it down at the end, which is always interesting. My boss had this problem when he put his jacuzzi up on his penthouse in Central Park. And this is a tool deck. Tool deck means a big crane. Tool means a machine, tool core. And deck means to support something from the bottom. So the idea of calling giving and taking a machine is that to build up the 7 steps for bodhicitta. You see, you start with trying to feel equal to other people, then recognizing that other people have been your mothers, and then thinking about their kindness, and then wishing to repay their kindness. And you go through these 7 steps. And what he's saying is, by calling it a crane, he's saying you have to build the stories up one by one. They have to be built on the foundation. If you try to see other people as your mother, having been your mother, before you do the step of trying to see other people as being equal, it won't succeed. You'll have a second story without a first story. You see what I mean? So that's why he says crane. Then he says, which ride upon the wind. And that's the part that I want to talk about. To me, in the scriptures, they say this is the thing that makes Tonglen such a sexy practice. You know, this makes Tonglen a very, very powerful practice, riding on the wind. What that means, we're going to go on to in a moment, okay? He's also referring back to an earlier text called the Mental Training in 7 Steps, okay, which was written down by Tomei Sambo, this bodhisattva named Tomei Sambo, in the 13th century. when I studied it and researched it, I found that the text was there before that. So who wrote it, you know? And then you find out that it has been passed on secretly from generation to generation, from India into Tibet, through the Kadampas, and then finally Tome Sambo wrote it down 300 years later. Why was it secret? Do you remember from the Lojong class?
People were not ready yet.
People weren't ready for the concept of Tonglen. They would start to diss it. You know, like somebody would, you'd say, come up to somebody and say, hey, look, you know what's the best thing you can do? What? Give away everything you have to other people, and whatever crap they have, whatever problems they have, to the best of your ability, take them away from them transparently. Don't even let them know you're taking them away. You know? Just do it secretly. And most people would say, yeah, you're nuts. You know what I mean? Like, sneak into people's house and put money in their wallets. Sneak out. Okay? I mean, if you tell this to most people, they just say, you know, sounds noble, sounds crazy. The minute you say crazy, you've collected a very bad karma, because this is the highest way to reach enlightenment. It is the holiest kind of behavior you can exhibit. So, therefore, they kept it secret. Because people weren't... If people disrespect a great idea, it's worse than if they never heard it. The karma is much worse. You see what I mean? So, leave it like that. So we're going to hear more about the breath, doing Tonglen on the breath, in the next reading. Then it just says, please give me your blessing to develop bodhicitta based on yon jampa, that kind of love, compassion, personal responsibility. No matter, people help me, I don't care. People attack me, I don't care. I'm still going to do this stuff, okay? And then finally, bodhicitta, meaning I will dedicate the rest of my entire life, every single moment, waking, sleeping, eating, pooping, I'll be thinking about how to help other people. And I'll attack, or I'll work on the most powerful practices I can that will be of best, quickest benefit to other people. Like, it's just a decision. I won't waste a moment of my time from now on. I'll do the most important things there are, like preserving the scriptures, like making sure that Dharma is available to other people. And then of course, your tantric practice, okay? Like, just a decision. I'll work on the most important things for the rest of my life, every moment of my life. I won't waste a moment of my life, and I'll do it for other people, okay? Like that. Just decide from now on. That's all I'll do, you know? By the way, you can do that at work. You can do that while you're watching a movie, okay? Especially if you know Tonglen. As long as you're breathing, you can do it, okay? All right, now the breathing stuff. That's in contemplation 8. By the way, in reading 7, you'll see a little bit different detail on the breathing. They'll start to talk about left nostril and right nostril. That's sort of tantric. I wouldn't worry about it right now. You know, if you've had some instruction on that, or you know about it, you can try it. But in the meantime, breathe through both nostrils is fine. You'll see both instructions in this text, okay? The one you see in Contemplation 7 is a little bit secret. He doesn't go into detail. When he got to some secret words, I left them out, or I put the Tibetan, okay? So I wouldn't try it exactly like that. You know, don't try the different nostril thing. Not right now, okay? Now, Contemplation 8, we actually get to the mental training in 7 points. At the time, I didn't know it wasn't written by Tome Sambo. Sometimes they say Tome Sambo's 7 points. And then later they tell you it means he was the first one to write them down. Okay, so he says, alternate the two of giving and taking, let these same ride on the wind. And then Pabongkor Rinpoche gives a commentary on it from The Gift of Liberation. Okay, and he starts talking about how to do the breath while you're doing the meditation. On page 34, he says the reason they call it a crane machine is because it's so powerful. The fact that it's connected to your breath makes it so powerful that we can call it a huge machine. Machine in Tibetan also means something that can do the work of 1,000 men. You see what I mean? It means more powerful. And he's saying that it'll be easy for you to get bodhicitta in your mind if you do Tonglen, because Tonglen is using the breath, okay? And this is, again, a reference to the connection between the breath and the channels inside. And I can't say a lot about it, but I think it's important to know a little bit about it. You have a subtle physical body. It's inside your other body. You can't see it. You know, when you do an appendectomy, you don't run into it or anything. When you do an appendectomy, though, you could damage it slightly. That's another point. But anyway, it's running in your body. There's a certain system of channels that are with you when you are born. And in their present condition, they are choked, okay? They are severely constricted. And every time you have a negative thought, every time you have a mental affliction, it tightens the constriction a little more, okay? It chokes it a little more. And that's actually the basis of aging, okay? The reason people get old is exacerbated or aggravated by the condition that every time you have a negative thought, whether it be on the desire side or the anger side, there are certain channels that relate to that. They constrict on your main structure of your inner body, and it damages your life. It damages your health. That's why people who have good hearts look younger. Like that, people who've done good Vajrasattva practice or people who've done good Four Powers practice can actually start to feel younger and healthier, and that's the basis of that. That's why businessmen who work too hard get ulcers or lose their hair or have heart attacks, because those are directly related to constriction of those channels, okay? And that comes from worry or desire or greed or being too busy or something like that, and it constricts the channels, okay? When you do and there's an air or an energy that runs through those channels, and that is very much related to your breathing, okay? Some people say it is your breathing. That's not correct, okay? Your breath is physical air, gross physical air, and the channels are in a different place, and there's a subtle air or energy running in those channels. So and Lungsen Drupa Chipa means your mind, meaning your thoughts, and those airs are running in tandem. And Pabong Krimpache starts to talk about it, and then he says, okay, that's enough, can't tell you in public, okay? But they run in tandem. They work together. Okay, so in the Lojong text of Tome Sambo, he says, alternate the two of giving and taking, let these same two ride on the wind. Meaning the thoughts to take away other people's pain and the thought to give them your happiness are riding on inner winds, okay? And every time you do Tonglen, you open up those constricted areas a little more, okay? In tantric enlightenment, they're wide open. And then they do something else, which I won't talk about right now, and then you get a different body. Your body changes into an enlightened being's body. For whom? For you. Will other people see it? Not necessarily, okay? Don't forget. Okay, you have the karma to see your body change. You might look quite similar as you're used to other people. It appears to us that His Holiness the Dalai Lama is getting older. It appears to us that Ken Rinpoche is aging. You don't know what they see in the mirror in the morning, okay? So don't assume anything, okay? That's their emptiness, all right? There is no Ken Rinpoche and there is no Dalai Lama. There's the one you see and there's the one they see. But there's no real one outside of those two. Get it? There's not like one Ken Rinpoche that, and he's seeing it one way and you're seeing it a different way. There's only the Ken Rinpoche that he sees and the Ken Rinpoche that you see. And if you see him aging, that's your problem. Because he surely doesn't, you see? Okay? And there's no Ken Rinpoche beyond those two. Okay? And you got to get used to that. So, yeah, you can change the condition of your channels and you will change into a tantric deity. And that's the whole idea of Buddhist practice. You have to try to do it as fast as you can. Every time you have a pure thought, every time you do Tonglen, you open it up a little more. And the result of that is you start to feel better and better. Okay, when those things are kind of flowing better, then you can much easier get high realizations like bodhicitta or the direct perception of emptiness. Okay, it's the tail wagging the dog. What do they say? Yeah, the tail wagging the dog. So you can work it both ways. You see, if you get angry, what happens to your breath? Afraid. You see, I mean, the breathing becomes irregular. That's a sign that the inner winds are starting to get choked. Okay, and in tantra, you work it backwards. You work on the breath. You work on the physical body, and it forces the inner winds into line. It's wagging the tail to move the dog. See what I mean? And you can work it both ways. Okay, you could. These things are choked. You work at it in two directions. My boss in the diamond business used to say, always attack a problem with 10 solutions. And between the 10 of them, something will, you know, they'll break down 10% of the problem. You know what I mean? So you're working at it from this side. You're trying to see emptiness by studying and meditating. Okay? But when you see emptiness directly, there's a profound change in your winds and in your body, physical body. So you can actually help your perception of emptiness and help get bodhicitta by working on your physical body and your breath. So you're like working through the back door. Okay, it's very interesting. So you attack the problem from both sides. Okay, and that's the principle here. You're using your breath and trying to breathe in a very regular, long way. If you can, try to make the in-breath and the out-breath equal length. Okay, equal length means you can visualize it as a piece of spaghetti. Goes out straight and then comes back. Okay, make it about 3 feet long, 3 feet down from the throat, and then 3 feet out from the nose, and it's coming back again, like one piece of jello. That's moving like this. Okay, not like you're breathing and the air is going out or something like that. One piece of stuff going like this, and try to make this the same length and this the same length, and it's hard. Okay, you have to use your whole breath out. You have to hold, use your whole breath in. You'll find that you're doing the in-breath faster than the out-breath. And you have to fix that. Okay? The closer you get to being totally happy and contented, the closer that breathing gets that way naturally. When you're watching a really good movie or listening to really good music, you're naturally doing that. And your breathing is slowed down and sweet and nice. And then when you start to get angry, you start puffing. And it starts to get jumbled again. So the idea of Tonglen, and that's what Pabong Krimpache is saying, is that if you do Tonglen using your breath in a very equal way, by the way, equal can also mean time-wise and not quantity of air, okay? One meaning of equal is, you know, 3 feet down of air and then 3 feet out of air. The other meaning of equal is 4 or 5 heartbeats out, 4 or 5 heartbeats in, okay? And you can time it that way. And some people get 10, some people 12, some people 2. Okay, time it to your heartbeats. If you're busy and you're in a bad mood, it'll be 2 heartbeats. Okay? Okay? But at least try to make them equal in and out. Okay? If you're doing a long retreat, it could get up to 10, 12, and then gradually it slows down to nothing maybe. Okay? But the idea is try to make the out and the in equal. Don't hold your breath. That heart hurts you. Okay? Don't try to hold your breath. Okay? Just try to force yourself to slow down on, usually it's on the in-breath, and speed up a bit on the out-breath until they're equal. And then that has a reverse effect on your winds. And that makes your mind very fertile, very ready to get bodhicitta, and very ready to see emptiness directly. And that's why in the higher stages of tantra, you're using your body in special ways to try to see emptiness directly. Okay? You're also studying like crazy and meditating like crazy. So you're working at the problem from both sides, from the back door and from the front door. Okay, and we have to try to do that. So that's why Tonglen is such a holy practice. You're combining the sutra methods and the tantra methods of seeing emptiness and of reaching bodhicitta. Okay, so using your breath is very important. During the day, then be aware of your breath. And you can get into a point. Buddhism is great for transitions, meaning during the time you get to the dentist's office and the time they finally come out and say you can go in and have your face drilled, those 15 minutes, use them. You know, if you're a Buddhist, this is the way to get some time. If you're waiting for somebody to serve dinner or something, sit down in a corner, use it. You know, there was a guy traveling with us who, we got to the Santa Cruz airport, And he's over in the baggage claim area in the corner, meditating in a corner. You know? He's using the 15 minutes he has. You see what I mean? And do that. That's a great time. Tonglen is great for wasted time. You know, waiting for the bathroom, waiting for somebody to call you, waiting on the phone on a call to IBM while they're... Your call's important to us. And please wait half an hour, you know. And, you know, then just watch your breath and do Tonglen. Imagine the good things coming out, serving them to other people, and the bad things coming in, and you're eating them away from other people and destroying them, okay? Just use the time. And then that has a profound ripening process on your practice of Tantra later. See, you're already used to what you're supposed to be doing, and then when you get the proper instructions for those practices, you say, "Oh yeah, I've been doing that for 5 years already." You know, that's easy. Okay, right? Yeah.
Just to that point, when you're doing it, Tonglen, in those spare moments, and you don't know how long that spare moment.
Yeah.
Is it important to be going through a whole formal procedure?
No.
Formal process, you just do it.
Yeah, it's a good question. Don't have to do the preliminaries. Just do... I'm doing the classic one with you when you have 45 minutes at home. But when you're doing it on the phone, use the instructions here, which is out-breath, giving them something, in-breath, taking away their pain. And they reverse it, see? So out-breath, giving this operator patience for the next person who calls, and... you know, in-breath, taking away her stress for today, or something like that.
So specific, you're giving her something specific.
Yeah, specific is always better in Buddhist practice. You know, this thing of all sentient beings, the people in Ireland, this lady raised her hand and said, "I get it." I said, "What?" She says, "I can't do an Irish accent." I know who's, how do I say, Paddy? What you know? I know who this all sentient beings is. You know, I said, "Who?" "The people in my kitchen." I said, "You got it." You know, yeah, you got to deal. Frankly, if you can deal with the people that you live with or work closely with, you can deal with anybody. See, I mean, they're the most difficult. So it's a lot easier to do all these practices with the people that you're with all day than with all living beings. You know, all living beings is easy after you did it with your wife or your son or your boss or your parents. Okay, all right. Yeah.
So what if the operator comes back online before you finish?
Oh, just you know, it's okay. You just stop. Yeah. Oh, well, don't leave any black in you. That's the main thing. Okay. Say it's important for me to talk to you. Could you hold a few minutes? Yeah.
Could you just give a quick example of a mini example? How did
you do that? Oh, that's just all...
Which situation you're breathing out?
Yeah, like if I'm at the dentist, you know, I sit down, they say he's going to be with you in 10 minutes. You know, you have a choice. You can read these, like, six-month-old magazines, or... that's the only time I get to see People magazine. And then, or you could... use the 10 minutes, you know, and just sit back and try to look impatient and no, take breathe out, which we're going to practice now. Breathe out and give comfort to all those people who are getting their teeth drilled today in that office. You see what I mean? People there in the office who are walking in and out in pain. Say, okay, I breathe out and give them some kind of happiness. Give them all your good karma. Make the pain a little less for them. And then when you breathe in, say, okay, I'll take your root canal from you today and take it in. And that's all.
And visualize the flame?
No. Just very simple. They say just black, white, and light, and white light and black light. White light going out of your body through your nose and black light coming in and just exchanging. The black light shouldn't stay in your body. Destroy it. Turn it into white light for the next round. You know what I mean? Like that. And very simple, very beautiful. And that Buddhists shouldn't waste their transition moments. You know, it's a lot of driving in a car, waiting in an airport. You know, it should be a skill that you don't waste that time. Because actually about a third of your life is spent like that. Okay? All right. Yeah?
You said something about taking long time in-breath.
Well, I mean, the tendency is if you watch your in-breath and your out-breath, the tendency in a normal samsaric state of mind, which is like not actively evil, but it's just sort of irritated, is that your in-breath is faster than your out-breath. If you timed it by your heart, you know, check it out sometime. When you do the 10 breaths before meditation, you'll see that the tendency is to breathe in a snort and then breathe out a little slower. And that represents an imbalance in your own peace of mind. And the closer you get to true contentment, you know, you're sitting with somebody out in a meadow and you're like, you know, looking at the sky, your breath starts to equalize. You see what I mean? So the trick is to force it into that condition, which forces your mind to be more contented. It's very interesting. You see, it's going through the back door. Instead of being contented and having good breathing, you force your breathing into a good point, and it kind of makes the dog wag. It forces your mind to be more contented. It's very interesting. Okay, that's why they say count to 10 when you get angry or something. That's a 10 breaths. Okay, something like that. Yeah.
If you don't visualize the flame, what's destroying, or how are you destroying it?
Oh, just Rinpoche calls it the switch on. Just some burst of light, and the thing is gone. Okay. Yeah.
What about if you're doing yoga, pranayama, and sometimes you're supposed to do the opposite? Like you have a longer out breath and in breath.
I'd say that you should do it the way you were taught, and not fool around with it. Because it's two different systems, you see, and it'll be good for you. It'll be helpful. Yeah, yeah. I believe that would be quite helpful. When you take another system's teachings like that, follow them well, and they have their own good result. And then do the Buddhism well, but don't try to. Yeah, it's just not. They have their own efficacy, and they work on their own lines, and ultimately they will complement each other. So, like that. Yeah.
The nada sound is mentioned?
Yeah, they mentioned the nada sound, and I don't know much about it. Okay. I don't know. It's like a universal music or something. How's that? You know, seriously. It's like a universal om sound or something like that. That's almost a tantric thing, and he's flirting with tantra, and, you know, it'll come. Slowly. Okay. Yeah.
Can you do it with sound and or smells?
Instead of breath?
Well, I mean, not using your breath, but you're visualizing black and white light, but can you visualize certain sound?
Oh, I haven't seen it written that way. Every time I say that, I find a text the next day that uses it. No. I'm not aware. I haven't seen one like that, but that it may well be there. Might be fun to try, but I haven't seen a text like that. Yeah, I haven't seen a text like that. But it, every time I haven't seen that in scripture, I see it the next day. You know. So yeah.
Can you describe and read this?
There is a big significance. There's two channels that run down here, and go back, and they're connected to certain kinds of thoughts, mental afflictions, and whether you use one nostril or the other affects that mental affliction. And you have to study that with somebody for a while. Okay, we'll.
Somebody was asking me before if they have a friend who's sick, and to teach that person to do Tonglen, visualizing themselves as well, and doing Tonglen and themselves in the future being well. Mm-hmm. Looking back on the past of themselves sick and doing Tonglen on that person.
She's talking about someone who's sick now. Someone told them it'd be useful to do Tonglen in the sense that you imagine yourself in the future when you're well, and then you look back on when you were sick and you try to do Tonglen on them. But there's two answers to that. One is in the, I think it's the 13th reading or something, which we'll get to tomorrow afternoon, just before we leave. There's a very long section on turning illness into an opportunity to do Tonglen, and death. Death is the ultimate time to do Tonglen. And if you read the description of Tonglen at death in the Lojong text, as we said in Ireland, there's a precedent for it, you know. some guy dying and taking on all the sufferings of the world. This is very, very appropriate, Donglen. Very, very appropriate. So when you're dying, there's a special instruction for Donglen. In the meantime, when you're very sick, there's another special instruction. We'll get to it tomorrow. Okay, but generally, it's a good time to do Donglen, visualizing yourself as sick. And the idea is that you say, all right, it worked. You know, I've been trying to take on other people's bad karma all this time, and obviously I've succeeded. I'm so happy. You know what I mean? And you're supposed to think like that. And then you're supposed to make a dharma and put it on the altar and say, please send me more and worse. Okay? And there's actually a practice for that. Okay? You'll read it in the reading. I think even for someone who's not a Buddhist, you don't have to ever say the word Buddhism. I think it'll be a skill in America to get people to think like Buddhists and don't know they're Buddhist. And that's all that really matters, isn't it? You know what I mean? So try to talk to them in a way that you never mention Buddhism that gets them to do the right thing. And they'll get the good result from it, and they'll feel better, and they'll keep doing it. You know what I mean? Okay, also one more thing about, there is a practice of doing Donglen on your future self. And that is in fact the most important way to begin Donglen, and we'll talk about that later. Okay, like Ellie in the afternoon can do Donglen on Ellie in the evening. And this is a very holy practice of Donglen, and we'll get to that, okay? Okay, get ready to meditate. Okay, try to be very quiet, very still. If not for yourself, for the person next to you, okay? Make sure your shoulders are equal. Make sure your mouth is loose. A lot of people get this thing, you know. Make sure your forehead is loose. Happy. Be happy, you know. Be loose. And, you know, like, giggle a little, smile. Head up. Don't let the head slide down. That'll increase your sleepiness, okay? Try to push your belly button in just a touch, it helps. Make sure your back is straight, chin up, okay? Left hand down first, right hand on top of that. If it's not comfortable right now, then change. Do something else. Sit on a chair, put your legs up, something like that. You see, it just gets worse, right? You know that. But that's a good test. When you go into meditation, are you comfortable when you started? Was it like the nicest? Don't be in a rush, you know. Don't start till you're really comfortable. If you find this distracting, or this used to be very distracting for me, they would fall down. I think I was a bad person. Okay, this is okay on your knees. Okay, or like this on your knees, or like that on your knees. Okay, it doesn't matter. Okay, that posture is found in the scriptures also. Okay, should have loose clothing on. Make very sure that below your ankles and your calves is some kind of padding. If they're right on the floor or even on a carpet like this, it won't work. You'll start to have pain in your knees and your ankles. Okay. Okay. Then now we're gonna do a full. We're gonna do Len and then some Tong. Okay, we're halfway through, we can do some Tong. Okay, here we go. 10 breaths. Make them honest breaths. If you cheat on the breath and you go to 10 without concentrating, you won't have a good meditation. Okay, seriously. Be very strict with your mind, you know. If you have to start over 6 times, start over 6 times. If you get distracted and you count, go back to 1. Try to do deep breaths. Try to equalize the breaths. Don't hold breaths. and take refuge. We're going to play a game on this preliminary. I'm going to snap my fingers for the next preliminary, and you're going to try to remember what it is, and then I'll tell you what it is, okay? I'll give you the first one for free. That's taking refuge. Okay, so imagine taking, doing an act of refuge. Someone does something to you. You refuse to respond the normal way. You respond with knowledge, meaning kindness, and you break the cycle of the self-perpetuating cycle of violence. That's a true act of refuge. Think about a specific one that you've done or you could do today. Try to think of what the next preliminary is. And that's bodhicitta. And think about, it's good to think of someone in particular that you would like to be able to help as an enlightened being. Next preliminary is inviting a holy being to meditate with you. Next preliminary is a mental prostration by admiring one of the good qualities of an enlightened being that you would like to be able to have, like being able to emanate in thousands of places to help different people at the same time. next preliminary is offering to your Lama, to this holy being, something you own, something not in nature, or perhaps part of your practice. Small successes in your practice. Next preliminary is to think of something negative you've done. It's pretty powerful if you think of something since the last meditation session. And it can be something small. It's more powerful if it's a thought you had or an attitude you're holding. And try to catch yourself and try to think exactly what it was you thought. Next preliminary is being happy about small success you've had in your practice or in your thinking, something kind you said to someone, something good you did, and especially little improvements in your attitude, the way you view the world. Think of something specific since the last time we meditated. Play the tape back. This is a bit of a trick. On the second half of the rejoicing, you can also, and you should sometimes, veer off onto other people's good deeds. Be happy about someone in our group that you've seen improving, someone that you've seen especially trying to have made some progress in their attitudes. Also, you can rejoice in the great deeds of the great lamas in the world. The very fact that they're spending their lives trying to help other people. Next preliminary is asking for teachings, asking for help on understanding something. Next preliminary is praying for the long life of your teachers and the great good people in the world, and especially the people around you, your Dharma friends who can help you. Okay, take a fidget break, 1 minute. Okay, save all the fidgeting for this time, okay? And then when you're ready, go back to your breath. Make sure you're comfortable before you start. And then again, visualize someone with a problem. You're in the same room. They can't see you. You're a few feet away. And get their problem very clear in your mind and try to feel a little bit about how it feels to them. I would suggest doing a new person. When I snap my fingers, try to remember the next step by yourself. Now bring all the problems they have into their heart. Black, thin black streams coming along their blood towards their heart, collecting in the heart into a black ball. Then take about 10 long, slow breaths and start to draw that blackness out of their heart, up to their throat, to their nose. And it approaches your face and forms another small black ball. Now prepare the fire, see the fire in your own heart. It represents your own tendency not to think about other people's problems, but to concentrate on your own. And underlying that, the tendency to not understand what really causes things around you, what really prevents you from being happy, the tendency to see things as coming from their own side or having their own nature. The next step when I say go will be one long out breath to prepare, then a very long slow in breath. Bring the blackness down into your heart rather quickly. Bring it down into slow motion when it gets close to the flame. As soon as they make contact, there's a burst of light, and then the blackness is gone and the flame is snuffed out. Your selfishness is done and their pain is gone. And then there's just a puff of smoke that dissipates quickly, gray smoke. Okay, go ahead. Next step is to refocus on the person and imagine how they feel now. That problem they had or problems they were having are gone. They don't know why. Just suddenly all those things are lifted from them and they're happy and they're relaxed, and for the first time in maybe years they feel light. They feel very contented. No pain in their body and totally happy, and concentrate on them that way and feel proud in a good sense that you've been able to do that. Now we're going to do just a small touch of tong. Focus on the person again. Try to imagine something they would like to have. Like maybe it's something material, like a car or new home, or maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a dog. Maybe it's a husband or a wife or a child or a parent. Maybe it's some spiritual goals, like maybe they'd like to be able to recite the whole Dakye backwards, or something like that. Okay, like imagine something they would like to have, knowing them as well as you do. And I think you'll find that you haven't thought about it very often, and you're not very good at guessing what they would really like. But the exercise will make you better at it. So imagine what they seem to enjoy and the goals they seem to have. And then try to get that very clear in your mind. Two or three things that they don't have that they might like to have, even spiritual qualities. Then this involves a certain judgment about where they're at, and you may be vastly mistaken about that judgment, but the exercise is valid anyway. Now on your out-breath, take very long, slow breath. As you breathe out, see white light coming out of your body, like your body is filled with white light. No more guts, heart, lungs, stomach, bowels. Just white light, filled with white light. And every time you breathe out, the breath itself is white light. And imagine that white light like cascading over them. Some of it's going into their nose. They breathe in. It's giving them the inner qualities that they're hoping for and the health that they wish for. And then some of it, like, cascading over their body, like streaming down their body and giving them the outer things they wish for, like material things that they're hoping for. So your breath is like Santa Claus. And it's just pouring over them, pouring into them from the nose, and giving them the things they wish for. So do that now. Now we'll do the first of the two concluding parts. And that's asking the holy being that you've been meditating with to come up into your head and then down into your heart. Very important to get the part about them being very happy that you asked. and they're being very attracted to you. Like they've fallen in love with you. They want to stay inside your heart. And then dedicate the good karma of this meditation. I think it'd be nice to dedicate it to them getting what they hope for. The second part, the dong part. Then relax. So, before the next class, which will be at 7:30, okay? Before 7:30, try to read 7 and 8. That's what we did just now, okay? And then we'll go on to 9 and 10 in the evening session, okay? Please don't eat too much, all right? Okay, ready?
This is the end of session 4.